Our next guest is really, I should say, Bard, because this man is a Renaissance man of intelligence and sensitivity, refinement and exquisite. Yeah, I'll see. Somebody already knows because they can tell. This one man has been a wonderful friend to me. He's been a guide, a mentor. He's looked out after me. He's been there in a place where, in kind of a hard place, and it's been real close to my heart. So I really, y'all are going to love this man. I think many of you already do who know him, but I want to introduce my friend, Robert Karp.
So I'm 22 years old, and I've just driven from northern New Mexico to Chicago, Illinois, to attend a conference put on by a church that I've recently become interested in called the Christian Community. And the conference is winding down, and my anxiety is amping up. Because in the course of the conference, I've discovered that I can't find my wallet anywhere. I've searched the room where I'm staying. I've searched my car, top to bottom. And I've searched the church where the event is happening. And I can't find my freaking wallet anywhere. And in a couple hours, I'm supposed to get in my car and drive home. So we're having lunch. Everyone is saying their goodbyes. And I'm walking down a set of stairs that lead to the first floor where the exit is from the church. And I'm wondering what the heck I'm going to do. And at the base of the stairs is standing Reverend Patterson. Reverend Patterson is this incredibly tall, dignified gentleman, kind of the epitome of a wise elder of the church. And he greets me at the base of the stairs and he says, "Robert, I'd like to speak with you about something." Okay, so I follow him into a little library where we can have a private conversation. And he says, "Robert, I hear you've lost your wallet." And I'm like, yes, Reverend Patterson, I've lost my wallet. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, maybe the church wants to help me with the gas money. I need to get home. But instead, Reverend Patterson looks me in the eye, and there's not a twinkle of a smile on his face when he says, "Have you asked the finding fairies to help you find your wallet?" No, actually. I never occurred to me, Reverend Patterson. How do you do that? So Reverend Patterson proceeds to explain to me that there's certain kinds of fairies that love to help human beings find things. But it's a reciprocal exchange. And so he says, you have to make a gift to the fairies, and then they'll help you. And he goes on to tell me that fairies cannot see babies and young children. And so if a human being will picture a baby or a young child they know with great reverence and describe them in loving detail to the fairies will then help you find something you've lost. Well, he shakes my hand, says good luck, goodbye, no mention of gas money. And I'm pretty desperate, So I sit down right there in that little library. And fortunately, for the last 2 years, I've been living in this little spiritual community, kind of hippie commune in northern New Mexico, and helping care for a baby, change his diapers and feed him. His name was Orion. And so I sit in that library and I picture Orion, and I begin to tell the finding fairies all about him. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, I'm like, okay, I think I've done it. And I walk out to my car, and I sit in my car, and the moment I sit down, this kind of bodily instinct comes over me. It's completely unpremeditated. And I reach down deep under the front seat, and there's my wallet. I mean, I put my hand right on it. It was like somebody was under there and handed it to me. And I'm like, oh my God, this shit works. So I begin driving home. And as I'm driving through Illinois, this wild idea occurs to me, which is that maybe these finding fairies could help me find my prescription driving glasses that I lost on the drive to Chicago. You see, I drove to Chicago with a dear friend of mine named Rebecca. She stayed in Chicago to visit relatives, so she wasn't with me now. But on the way, we had a fantastic time taking old state highways the whole way across the upper Midwest. And at one point, we're driving through eastern Iowa, and up running along the side of the road comes a drove of baby pigs, squealing with delight. And we're so delighted by them, we pull the car over to the side of the road and we watch them. And then we're like, oh, this is a good time for a break. So we take a walk, and eventually we come to this big grassy field about the size of a football field. And we walk all over this field. Eventually we sit down. And eventually we get up and we leave. And a couple hours later, as we're coming into Chicago, I realize I don't have my driving glasses. And I'm pretty certain I left them back there in that field. Now, you all know the Midwestern landscape. The sameness of every mile, every section of land. I had no landmark whatsoever. I didn't know the town we were near. I didn't know an intersection. But I decided this was a job for the finding fairies. So as I drove into eastern Illinois, I began talking to those finding fairies mile after mile. I'm telling them stories of every child I've ever known. And after about an hour of driving, I'm like, I think I'm getting close. This is feeling right. So I slow down, I pull over, and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm in the right place. So I start walking, and eventually, sure enough, I come to a big grassy field. I mean, it looks kind of like that field we were in. So I begin walking in this field, circles all over this field, and in my head, I'm talking to the finding fairies the whole time. And eventually, I just kind of come to a stop in this field. And I realize there's a problem with my method, because I'm so busy talking to the finding fairies, I'm not really looking very carefully. And the sun is going down, the grass has grown taller, and I can't see very well anyway without those glasses. So I begin scanning the area where I'm standing. And I sink down lower and lower I bring my eyes into focus till I'm finally looking right in front of my feet. And there, nestled in the grass, are my driving glasses. As you can imagine, this was a very impactful experience. No, it really did. This conversation with Reverend Patterson, it opened up a huge area of interest for me. To this day, I'm very interested in this possibility that humans can have communication with this invisible world we call the elemental beings. And Reverend Patterson went on to become an incredibly important figure in my life and told me about many other important aspects of the invisible world. And the last thing you need to know is that before I could tell you this story tonight, I had to get the permission of the Finding Fairies. And they were actually thrilled at the idea that more and more people would ask them for their help and make these offerings to them, even if you haven't lost something. Because they wanted you to know that the most important thing we're all in danger of losing is not our cell phones, or our wallets, or our glasses. It's rather our reverence for the sanctity of childhood. Thank you.